myself.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Sorry, the kids had muted my microphone. I just booted them out of the office.
I'm trying to... Am I supposed to be able to see you?
No, usually
oh, good.
Just like it just tends to make the connection patchy because it sort of struggles. It's like video. It's
oh, perfect.
Too much for regional internet.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Excellent. No, we have a program at work called Zoom. So we Zoom a lot. And my boss lives in Canada, so I'm constantly using Zoom. And then when you went Skype, I went, oh my gosh. I used it like about, I don't know, 8 years ago.
Yeah, and it's only because like I've got like a little bit of software that attaches to it and then it just records the call like as an MP3 and then I can just like chuck it into GarageBand. So that's I'm sure those other things do it as well. But yeah, like the kids have just been on nonstop Roblox because they were without internet from Christmas Eve until yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I don't even know in our house when like it goes down for like an hour. It's just like everyone walks around just going, "What are we going to do?"
I don't know what it. And that it was so funny because they were sort of getting to experience what. In a small way, what TV was like when Josh and I were kids, because they're like, "Oh, can't we just watch that from the beginning?" And we're like, no, there's no streaming now. Like, you just watch what is on when it's on." And like, they had a big array of things that they could watch because we've got like Foxtel on the satellite, so they could still watch on that. So it wasn't even that sort of curtailed. And yeah, so it was just like, oh my God, this is. And when I talked to the technician when he came to replace the box, he had like five to replace from the same storm, and he ran into a technician on the street who had eight to replace. So they just must have taken out a huge amount of internet in Alstonville.
Wow.
At least. I'm surprised I didn't see people ranting about it in the community group, because that's exactly the kind of thing that they normally do.
Yes. Well, I don't know how much information from our chat you're going to get for the podcast, because I don't know if many people will be interested in.
Oh,
this.
Well, it was actually perfect timing, because I had like the last comment I had on something that I posted about the podcast is they wanted. More stuff to do with like more of the beginning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because like a lot of the times it's easy for me to talk to Kirsten, but she's like running these huge events, it can be hard for people to relate to.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like 100 kilometers. Oh my God. So far, you know, and so it can be sort of, and I guess as her and I have moved further along from where we started, it can be easy to sort of not forget. I always remember how hard it was in the beginning.
Yeah.
But you sort of focus shifts, and it's good to have that reminder, like, actually, no, I need like more sort of, you know, beginning stuff and that kind of thing. Yeah. And also for the beginning of the year, I think it's a good thing, because I think a lot of people can be sort of in the same boat, you know, like with what Corinne was saying, with having sort of like fallen off the wagon a bit, like with get busy with work and then it's been a few weeks and then it's like so hard to get going.
I feel like I'm constantly having beginnings, and not even just even with movement, you know, like I'm learning about nutrition and just, you know, fueling better. And I listened to on the way to work this morning, the number one podcast for Sparta chicks last year was this lady called Stacey Sims. So I listened to her and she spoke a lot about menopause, which was really good. And like, I don't know, you just sort of, you know, sometimes it's just enough to get up and get to work and get home again. So then trying to work out, you know, what foods you should be eating when you're going through change of life and stuff, it's just, you know, all a little bit too overwhelming. But And like she was saying, you know, like really reduce your carbs and you need a lot more protein because your estrogen is, you know, I don't produce estrogen at all anymore. And like I went, I didn't even know this. I mean, I didn't have the headspace before to know it. You just sort of go along and find out different things through your journey. But I guess now I'm more interested in exercising and keeping fit for long term. But I'm so new to that as well. I mean, it's only been like 3 years before that I hardly did anything for various reasons. So there's just everything seems to be so new. And so, yeah, at the beginning again, and then if you, you know, have a break when you're sick or, you know, life things happen, it's just like, oh, starting again, you know. Not right from the beginning, but, you know, because you've got that a bit of foundation there. But I mean, it's good. It's you know.
It can be overwhelming though. Like I know when I was doing, when I had started working with a nutrition coach, I actively stopped listening to like podcasts about nutrition or reading books about nutrition because I was like, you just get information overload. Like I don't need to question what they're asking me to do. Like I've said, okay, this is my expert, this is what I'm going with. Yeah. So any more information is just gonna, because I guess the danger with sort of overload of information and overwhelm is that you can tend to do, like, you'll read something and then you'll do that, and then you'll read something else and then you'll do that, but you never actually achieve consistency in anything. So then what I would end up doing is sort of like, oh, I'll just do this, you know, like low carb thing, but then I'd only do it for like 30 days. And then I'd jump on to, you know, like, oh, I'll do this intermittent fasting thing and do that for 30 days. And I would actually not know the impacts of either of those things because I never stuck to them long enough because I was sort of like jumping from thing to thing. So like it is definitely one of those things where I think in the beginning it's just sort of like looking at like how can we simplify it, because like Stacey's got such great information about you know, like menopause and premenopause and fueling, and like I've certainly discovered like one of the big things I got from her book was that once you get into menopause, oftentimes you don't absorb fructose very well.
Yep.
And most gels have both glucose and fructose because if you are absorbing both, they go on different pathways. So it's better because you get more and you can take more in. But if you're not absorbing fructose, it can just wreak havoc with your system, and then it can stop you from sort of like taking in what you need to take in. So I discovered that the like the Clif gels are just glucose. There's no fructose.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like you can sort of, yeah, like there is so much. So I think that like in terms of the nutrition thing, it's good to think of it like a pyramid. So if you think about the foundation is like, just like, are you eating enough food? Like not like the quality, not the macro, not the protein, just like, are you getting enough energy for, you know, like for working and living and running and exercising, whatever else you're doing? And once that is set, then you can go, okay, like, am I getting enough protein? And then once that is like, yep, I am getting enough protein every day, then you can sort of start looking at, okay, I could really probably benefit from making sure, like, am I getting enough vegetables? Because it's great that I'm getting all my macros, but am I getting all of my micronutrients, like with, you know, broccoli and spinach and fruits or whatever else? Because I know for me, like particularly in this weather, I could very easily sort of like just default to fruit.
Yeah,
not
so could
so
I.
Much to veggies, and I need to sort of like make an active effort once I'm in summer to go, no, like I'd make my summer salads because then I'm still getting the veggies, but it's not so sort of fruit dominant. And then once that's sort of in place, then you can kind of look at go, okay, like what's the timing like? You know, like am I having the majority of my sort of carbs after a workout? You know, like is all of the fueling of the workout. So, and I think it's sort of probably, I would hazard a guess, like, because your question, which you sent through, was like, you know, how to start when it all seems overwhelming, and it was kind of related to running as well. And I think that's sort of similar, is that, I mean, I guess we could look at like, is it overwhelming in terms of getting out the door and having it be hard again because you've not sort of been doing it lately? Or is it overwhelming because there are extra steps? Like, it's not just like go out the door and run for 20 or 30 minutes or whatever. It's get out the door and then you got to run for 10 minutes and then you got to do like this 10-second hill sprint. And like, is that an element of it that's overwhelming?
I think because, like, I think it really comes back to expectations and what I want to do, and probably what I can do is very different, unfortunately. And, you know, and the comparison thing is a huge stumbling block because, you know, now that I am more able-bodied than what I have been, for most of my life, I want to get out there and do a lot of things, but get injured, whatever. So, and I feel like if I only do a little bit, it's not good enough. So instead of just doing a little bit, I just go, no, I'm not going to do any then. So instead of being going, okay, yeah, no, I want to run a half marathon a couple of times a year, that, you know, would be a great goal and stuff. Instead of just going, look, just go to park run regularly and, you know, just, you know, tick over the 5Ks and just maintain that fitness and blah, blah, blah. I just feel like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's good enough, not to like anybody else, obviously, because nobody else really cares. But, and so I thought, oh, I need a plan because if I don't have a plan, all I will do is just do the easy stuff, which is just get out, put my shoes on, and run, and you know, have that good headspace. I guess it's just still achieving, you know, a reasonable level of fitness, but I'm not progressing forward. I'm not, you know, gonna, you know, be able to get PBs and so forth. So I found on Final Surge a park run PB, and I thought, plan, and I thought, oh, that will be good because that's still, you know, it was 3 days a week including park run, and so it's not too overwhelming and whatever. So I put that into the calendar, and the first one is a 2K warm-up with 6 1-minute hill sprints. And I went, okay, well, for a start, I can't sprint for a minute. I can probably sprint maybe for 10 seconds. How high should the hill be? Because usually I go, I'm going to chew, I need to eat the whole elephant. So I'll find the steepest, hardest hill I can because, you know, why do things, you know, poorly? I might as well do them, you know, like, and again, it comes back to expectations. Okay, I got to hit this hard because, you know, I don't want to feel like that what I do is not good enough. So, and then I end up getting injured, or I get overwhelmed, or I don't know how to fuel properly, or whatever. So I just go, instead of doing little bits and maintaining it and having the consistency, I'll just go, oh, it's all too much, so I won't do any of it.
And I mean, some of that is like that. I could probably reword that sprint thing because no one can sprint for a minute.
Oh,
Like
that's good to know.
Usain Bolt can't sprint for a minute. No one can. And you're right in that, like, for a hill, for a pure sprint, it's 8 to 12 seconds, and anything beyond that is there's an element of pacing in it. So it would probably be more accurate to describe it as a hill repeat
Yeah, right.
rather than a sprint. And for and a good thing also to which is always interesting, like sort of like finding out like what exactly is the the pain point in those like workouts that make you kind of look at them and go, I don't know, this seems too hard, is like so much of it is how it's communicated and what the language is. So, you know, like it can, obviously based on this conversation, it can change the energy of a workout completely. If like going from sprint to repeat, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's a different workout. And the other thing with hill sprints too, which, because I often have that thing as well, because I'll have, I think I've got it next week, like I do 10 second hill sprints every week, but then I'll have a thing where there's like a tempo run and then I do, it's like 2 to 3 minute of hills. And I'll often have that thing in my brain going, this isn't enough of a hill, you know, like I need to find something steeper. It's not always easy in Ballina.
No, no. Well, that was my next question. Where would I find a hill that, you know, would take me, you know, a minute to run up? And I thought, oh, I probably will have to go and do Pine Avenue.
Like Hill Street?
That's yeah, Hill Street. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that with those, it actually doesn't, I mean, obviously if you are training for something with a lot of elevation, it's going to change the nature of the hills that you're doing. But with something that is to do with 5Ks, it actually doesn't matter that much how steep the hill is.
Right.
Because if it's more of a gentle hill, then you're just going to go faster. And if it's steeper, you're going to go slower. So it's just about developing the leg strength. So so it's the kind of thing where it's probably not something that you have to worry about too much because, yeah, and I like to do different hills because then I don't have an expectation over, like, how fast I'm going up the hill.
Yeah, it's going to change.
So, like, I'll go, oh, I'll do this hill, which is a bit steeper. I'll do this hill, which is pretty gentle. I'll go over and do this hill and just sort of, like, rotate through them so that I'm not having something where I can compare it to really easily. And and that also helps. So I think some of it is, I think you're right in that some of it in the beginning is sometimes the language can be a bit prohibitive because it makes it feel like it should be harder than it is. And
yeah,
I think that's definitely something that I'm always, you know, like for ages I had like the one-on-one coaching was called Far and Fast and it was just a name, like I hadn't picked the name, like somebody else had picked the name and I hadn't really thought about it. It was just it had originally we just had Learn to Run and then we added in Learn to Run Far and Fast just as a, like an extension of that. And then on a lark when I was sort of thinking about, oh, maybe I want to change the name because I didn't pick it and I didn't really have like a strong feeling about it. And people were like, oh, well, you know, like I would have never thought that I was either running fast enough or far enough to join that program. And I had never even thought that that might be something that people would think because it's not what I think, but that's the power of language. So, you know, so yeah, I think that, and part of that is just like a learning curve into like knowing like this is, you know, when I see this kind of session, this is kind of what it should feel like and this is what the stimulus is. So in any of those intervals, you always want to finish feeling like you could do one to two more. So that that feeling like we're really tempted to go for, like it's good if you're like lying in a puddle at the end unable to move, but often that's not good because it means that you've probably gone a bit too far and then you take a little bit too long to recover and then chances are those last couple you are probably a bit fatigued and the form's like probably a little bit off and it's sort of that thing of really keeping the focus in the beginning on like consistency is much better than intensity, because yeah. although everyone tends to value intensity, it's kind of like, okay, but if you did one really hard thing and then you were like a complete wreck for 3 or 4 days and then your body didn't really want to go back and do it again because it was so yeah. hard, and now you've got like a mental block about it, is yeah. that better than something that you can do like every second day for 4 weeks? It's not. It's never going to be better than that. So yeah. I think in the beginning, it's a good idea, particularly with if there's any kind of like overwhelm thing going on. The first thing is to just pick something that there is never a reason not to do. So for some people, that's going to be like go out and walk around the block.
Yeah.
Can't fail at it. You know, like there's no reason not to do it because pretty much everyone has that amount of time. Or it might be, you know, like a 20-minute walk, or it might be an easy run. Until you're sort of like getting that consistency, then you can kind of going, okay, like now I know that I can do this. I now have the mental capacity to say, okay, like now I'm going to like add something in.
Yes.
That's a little bit more than that. And that's sort of like that slow progression. It can feel hard because when you're super motivated, you're like, I'm going to like do this race and I'm going to train really hard and it's going to be really awesome and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And the slower sort of build can seem like almost like too easy. And it's sort of like finding that line between something that is super achievable but not so achievable that you're bored.
Yeah, and that's what I think, because I was contemplating a lot over like the Christmas break, and you know, it's just a really reflective time. And I think doing the half marathon, I didn't realize how much it actually took out of me. Like I felt fine for a few days afterwards, but then yeah, I really struggled to get back into regular training after that. And then I got sick, and then, you know, we had all the fires and the smoke, and then I had issues at work, and one thing just led to another, and it just all really threw me off. And I just thought, I think something that you said about look back at your year and have a look at what worked well and what didn't work well, or what happened at different times. So I thought I really need to just have really realistic and achievable goals, not based on what I think that, you know, I should be doing as part of Operation Move and keeping up with others, but just based on my own lifestyle and stuff, which is really hard because, you know, expectation, you know, always sort of rears its head and so forth. So, but I just thought, even if I can just have that consistency throughout the year. I printed off your shoe thing because I want to do 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
This year I was close to it. I think I got up to 800 and something last year, and the end of last year, you know, I fell away quite dramatically. So I thought 1,000 kilometers should be quite achievable. So I'm going to go out and get some colouring in pencils, and so I can actually, you know, have that to visualise and hopefully, you know, be able to, you know, see the goal coming into effect more and more throughout the year. And
yeah,
the
other, I mean, I love those sorts of things. And it was interesting. I was listening to a guy talk on a podcast, and he was talking about different distances that he'd run, and somebody was asking him what his preference was, because he'd started off as like I think like running the mile in college, and now he was like had been doing some marathon running. And the interviewer had said to him, you know, like what are you what do you prefer, you know, like 5K marathon? And he said, it's like somebody asking me, do you want to be thrown down the stairs feet first or head first? It's like, yeah. it's in a race, it's always going to hurt. It's just going to be slightly different, you know, right. Like it's not. And I think that it can, yeah, it can be hard when you get into that, that space in like particularly online where everyone, it seems like everyone is, you know, like running marathons or half marathons and, you know, like it's, and a lot of times the race organizers don't help matters by literally making the medals bigger.
you know,
like it's not subtle at all. Whereas, no. You know, like definitely I would say that my 5K PBs are some of the hardest won things. And I would say they would definitely be harder than almost any other distance because at a certain point it's just, it's, you're sort of like having to go that fast for, you know, like it's not a, a super long period of time, but it's not a short period of time either.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, and it's just a mental thing that's, I've got set in my head somewhere along the line that I just feel that if you can run 5Ks in 30 minutes, you're a runner. Because I don't feel like a runner. I'd say like I shuffle, I can jog. I think Kirsten put up something about, do you consider yourself as an athlete?
Yeah.
That was during the year sometime. And I just went like, no, like goodness, you know, you look at athletes that, you know, and they're very different to what I look like. So, you know, short answer, no, but yeah, I have it in my head. And I think it comes back to when I was running originally and I started on a treadmill at the gym, the buttons that you could pre-program, it had 8K in an hour was a jog and 10K in the hour was run. So I think, you know, just something as small as that, that I went, okay, if I can run 10 kilometers in an hour, 5K in 30 minutes, I'm a runner. That's yep. Running. So, which is probably completely incorrect and misguided, but
those things do sort of like stick with you. Like I had, like when I started running also on the treadmill, I would tend to go because I could probably get an hour in before the little baby needed breastfeeding. So I would go and I would do like to start off with, it was probably about, I'd probably do about 7Ks in an hour. And then eventually it was probably more like 8Ks, but yeah. I still think of everything in like an 8 kilometer distance. Cause that's always what I did. And so if I see on my training plan, like 8 kilometer easy, I'm like, oh sweet. You know, like that's a nice run. And I see 10K, I'm like, really? 10? And I like that extra two.
Yeah, yeah. It is so weird. But anyway, so I've got this thing that I just think, you know, like I just want to be able to run 5 kilometres in 30 minutes. So that's why I thought, okay, well, it's going to be hard. It's going to take quite a lot of work, but I like the beginning of last year. So this time last year, I got down to 30 point, I think it was 30 point, I don't know, for 30 minutes and 40 seconds or something like that. So, and I never thought, but then, yeah, wheels fell off, whatever. So I thought, okay, like it should be achievable.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy, but it's just something that I guess, yeah, one of those bucket list things. But I also, I'm trying to retrain my brain to go, this is long term. This is like 20 years. This is like, it's a lifestyle. It's not an event.
Yeah. And that's part of the, I think, like listening to what you were saying about last year, I think oftentimes it's really easy to underestimate how quickly your sort of like sense of purpose and motivation can evaporate after you've done a big race, like a half marathon or a 10K or whatever it is, because it's been such a big deal. And mentally you've had to put a lot of energy into like getting through all of the weeks and not thinking too hard about the actual event and, you know, like freaking yourself out and, you know, and then you get there and you do it. And it's like mentally it's like, wow, that's amazing. I did it. I'm done. And then it's almost like a natural thing that you then just sort of like check out. It's like, well, I did it.
Yeah.
So it's done. And I think that it's it can be a really good learning curve with that kind of thing too, to go, okay, like I can't put all of my eggs in this one event basket, because then I know what happens afterwards, and I want to take all of that fitness that I build through that process and then, you know, like move it into the next thing rather than having to go through a rebuild phase because I'm mentally so fried from that event.
And that's what I thought this year. I thought, I don't want to focus on events, even though I want to do them because, you know, community and you know, getting out with family and friends and that connection is really important. But I just thought, I want to work on the consistency. I had a goal of last year doing 50 park runs, and I'm 4 off. So I'll hopefully get to 50 by February.
Yep.
Or in sometime in February, which will be good. But then I thought, okay, well, 75 park runs this year by the end of 2020 should be achievable.
Yeah.
And just more focus on longer term goals, just for fitness and overall, you know, strength work, rather than a set event and then, as you said, falling off and not having that purpose afterwards. So because then, you know, like I'm still like, you know, learning about the nutrition and the stretching, and I know I've got to add strength in there as well, which just completely overwhelms me. Actually, something that Stacey Sims was saying, she said how important it is for women to add, I think it was phyto exercise. And I went, what the hell is that? I don't even know what that is. So I'll have to go back to listening to a podcast and like phyto strength, I think she was calling. So I don't know if it's just pure weight based or what it is. So
I mean, I think too, it's a good, I think there are also good ways, like non-overwhelming ways to sort of like go, okay, like my goal is this 5K, so need to get super comfortable with running for 30 minutes. To get super comfortable with running for 30 minutes, probably want to build up to running for an hour on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work that sort of stuff in, and also look at that there are some ways to bring in some intensity that are not going to require any recovery. So they're doing things like, I'll do these like 50 meter little strides or about, you know, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk for a bit, can do the same thing with hills, or, you know, like say if you're on your easy run, you might go, okay, this last 2 minutes I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit, and just ways of bringing it in without it being super, super structured and overwhelming. Yeah. So it can be sort of just like more effort based and like how you're feeling on the day, and that will then start to, because I think a lot of it too is just sort of rebuilding that confidence
Yeah,
in.
and I think too that I want it to be still that, I mean, running and exercising is like my mental detox. So I don't want it to not be that.
Yeah.
I don't want it to get to the point where I'm actually more stressed and more anxious
Yeah.
about doing, you know, it's, it can be, you know, counterproductive because, you know, you set out to do one thing and then all of a sudden it adds all this extra pressure to your life. And I just think, oh, that's not the intended purpose of it. So, but one thing I did actually want to ask you, you said, because I've put on weight since I stopped training for the half and then coming into Christmas, so forth, you said that you were in a calorie deficit for 12 weeks?
No, it was 9 weeks, but yeah, it felt like
9 weeks.
12.
So what was your calorie intake per day that you worked on, given, I suppose, you know, factoring all your exercise and stuff?
So it reduced over time. So like probably like the first 4 weeks were probably not that different from normal. It was just like once you start, you know, like when I'm not sort of tracking food, I probably overeat more than what I think, you know,
Yeah.
because I just, you know, like eat some chips that the kids have, or you know, like have some ice cream here or there or whatever. When it's not being tracked, it's just very easy for it to be kind of like higher than what I think it is.
Yeah.
So to start off with, like, I guess you kind of have to know where your maintenance numbers are. So, like, what can I eat without putting on any weight? Which for me tends to be in the vicinity of 2,500 to 3,000 calories,
Okay.
give or take. And so, to start off with, and I also probably, and I don't really have to like fuel my easy runs through the week, but I'll tend to have 2 to 3 workouts. So that like one might be a long run, there might be like a tempo thing, and there might be some intervals. And for those, generally speaking, they're the workouts would tend to be about 2 hours, and the long run probably more between 2 to 3, just depending. And that will tend to be, I would have in like a shake before I start, I would have like about, you know, like probably 12 grams of protein, 25 grams of carbs, probably 50 grams of carbs before a long run.
Yeah.
And then in the actual workout, I'm probably having for about, usually it's probably, I probably have like a gel every 25 to 30 minutes. And then to finish off, I would have like a 25 grams of protein and then 25 grams of carbs. And so on like a workout day, that could easily be like in the vicinity of 200 grams of carbs. So that's sort of like to keep in mind that that's still happening even when other food throughout the day is being sort of cut back. Yeah, mate. Yeah, okay. No worries. I'll deal with that in a minute, meanie. Ant infestation in the kitchen.
Did you use any weight loss supplements? I've just been on
No,
the
no.
True Protein website and I've seen something called ProDefine, which
Unnecessary, in my opinion. I would just get the WPI 90, which
Yep.
is their protein isolate. The isolate is just the difference is that it has less fat and less carbs, so you're kind of like just getting the protein.
Yep.
So then to start off with, I was probably on, let me just work it out. Was probably in the vicinity of the first 4 weeks, is probably on top of that, in the vicinity of around like 2,000 calories.
Yeah, right.
And then, like, towards the end, it was probably more in the vicinity of, I would say, probably 1200 to 1500. And I had chosen to do a kind of like, I knew it was going to be aggressive, particularly at the end, but I was like, that's okay, like I'd rather this be hard for a shorter period of time than sort of like be less hard, but for a longer period of time, particularly given like for training, there's a huge difference between the runs, like when I'm in calorie deficit, when I'm not. Like I'd kind of forgot towards the end, and then I went out and did some 1 kilometer repeats the other day, and they were so fast and so easy. So it was on the more sort of aggressive side of things, but it was also on days when I just felt like I needed more. I just had like I added in some, some extra fruit or some, extra bread or whatever, and just sort of like did have like more of an intuitive approach, knowing that my activity level was pretty high. So, if I felt like I needed it, then I had it. And so, I did all of that, but just really kept the focus on really fueling those sessions so that I wasn't fatigued, and kept the protein high throughout and kept weight training throughout, so I didn't lose too much muscle, through that process, because that is 100% your the way your body kind of, if you weren't weight training, muscle is the first thing that it would dump, because it's like you don't need this. It's just using up more energy than what you're giving me. And so yeah, and a lot of it is just with that is just keeping the focus on, like you can have like a high volume of vegetables with like loads and loads of vitamins and minerals and have it be relatively low carb. So, like I had a lot of things with like mushrooms and broccoli and cauliflower and spinach and all of those sorts of things. So I could feel full, but it wasn't super carb heavy. And the main reason why in a calorie deficit you're looking at reducing carbs is because you obviously need your protein to hang on to your muscle, and you can't go too low on the fat because it will disrupt your hormones. So it wasn't like super high in fat what I was eating, but it was not like super low either.
I
So
think
yeah.
I was sort of thinking that I might even do something like light and easy for a couple of months. I did it quite a few years ago, I guess, and it worked fine, only because it just takes the thinking out of it. But I have been thinking about getting engaging a PT once a week just to go. Because I get very overwhelmed with all the gym equipment and knowing what I'm supposed to do and, your form and all that sort of stuff. But if somebody's there telling me exactly what I need to do and sort of no worries, I can do it. So, and then I thought, oh, well, if I just, even if I do it once a week, it's got to be better than no, none. So, but then again, see, my expectations is like, oh, I should be doing a lot more strength than that. I should be doing it like two or three times. Oh, that's really hard, so I won't do any. So I'm trying to change my mindset and go, okay, well, even if it's once a week, if it has to be once a week so that I can, still accommodate, a running plan and park run and my other goals,
Yeah, and over
that's okay.
time, like if you're doing stuff with a PT once a week and that starts to be just part of your normal routine, then they might say, hey, when you're at home this week, do these couple of extra sets, and you can sort of just start to build things in without it being like a whole big thing. And I certainly found when I was working with a PT, like having somebody there with such a good eye on form and everything would be probably worth 3 sessions that I would do at home, just in terms of like the progression. So, you know, like, yeah, I think a lot of it is sort of like getting out of that, you know, like there's definitely that sort of can get into that more headspace. But there's a lot to be said for just prioritizing like quality in terms of like what you enjoy and, you know, sort of good experiences and all of that kind of stuff. Because I think the cool thing too about working with a PT is then it's not just like you on your own doing something, it's then a relationship as well. So you're getting like a social benefit from that session as well as the physical benefit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, and I think just even for long-term bone health, and I just need, because I've, you know, got osteopenia, I think it is called, so the stage before osteoporosis. So because I went through menopause in my early 40s and it's still hanging around, it's, yeah, just been a long journey. I think, well, you know, I want to, you know, I want to be strong when I'm in my 70s and 80s if possible. So I've just got to stop looking at, you know, I see the whole elephant and think I've got to eat it all at once instead of just, you know, taking very small bites. And
And you can kind of look at what's going to work best together. So like it sounds like the big focus is like getting back into consistency with running.
Yeah.
And also the nutrition side of things. And the thing that's probably going to best support the nutrition side of things is having the running be easier.
Yeah.
Being lower intensity. Because that is definitely, if it's a goal to lose some fat, then, you know, like the last thing you want to be doing is like making yourself super hungry.
Yeah.
Through hard running sessions, which is what will happen.
Well, that's actually a really good point, because sometimes I do, like, if I am, you know, doing a lot of activity, I just like think, oh my gosh, I'll eat anything that, you know, is I can find. And I just think, oh my gosh, you just get so, yeah, and it's really hard to mentally keep.
Yeah, and I've definitely found it's a huge help. Like even though like when I'm sort of like running after the gym, it's only like 15-20 minute car trip until I'm home. So technically I could probably be fine without having my protein and carb shake after that and like coming home and making something. But I do find that it just helps to sort of like, I am then not all like depleted and then in a state of like being super hungry through the rest of the day. Because a lot of times when I get home, it's like, oh, now I've got to make the kids breakfast. Like not so much at the moment because they're on holidays and they're eating continuously. So they don't really have meals per se, as I just mop things over their way. But when they're going to school, it's not like I get home and I've got time to have like a, you know, a sit down breakfast. Like I'm feeding them, I'm getting them into things, I'm like brushing hair and, you know, like doing all that sort of stuff. So having had that thing as soon as I finish working out just takes the edge off the beast. Yes. And then I can get home, like have a coffee, you know, like have some porridge or whatever, but it then doesn't matter so much if there's a little bit more of a gap. So I think like having a good plan for what you have immediately after can help. But I also think that it is just, it is good to kind of go, okay, you know, like the nutrition always takes more brain energy than running because it's all day. It's not just, you know, like for half an hour. Yeah. And for me to wrap my head around, okay, I've got to make sure that I'm having, you know, like 20 to 30 grams of protein with every meal, like that takes a bit of preparation. So you just kind of need to make the running as low key and low intensity as possible. So it's not stealing any brain space from what needs to be dedicated to the nutrition side of things. And ultimately, like some of those nutrition things will sort of like start to become second nature at a certain point, and it won't take as much energy and focus.
Yes.
You know, like it's pretty like I can pretty much go on autopilot now with the protein side of things, even with being vegetarian. But it does take a while for that to sort of kick in. And while you're sort of like learning something new, sort of good to just like, let's just focus on that. And then once that's really established, then we can kind of like focus on the next thing rather than taking on too much at once.
Yes. Yeah. No, Zoe, you've been a wealth of knowledge. Thanks so much for chatting with me.
No worries. It's always nice to chat. I had a goal of 50 park runs last year too, and that did not happen. I think.
Are you close?
No, I'm nowhere even in the vicinity. because part of it is sometimes like on Saturday when I have a workout, I do get like overwhelmed by like I've got to start here and finish here and this amount of time, because I never want to sort of like do park run and then have more running after that. So I ended up, I think I got up to like 25 or something like that. So I would definitely have a goal of like getting to 50 by the end of the year, and just it's just one of those things where I think too, sometimes like when my anxiety levels get a little bit higher, I find like the social aspect intimidating.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, I've got to go and like, and the reality is I would probably feel 10 times better if I did go, but it's easy for me to get into an avoidant pattern when I'm a bit anxious. And so I think that's just like another thing that, that can happen, you know, like at the moment, like if my anxiety is relatively high, so even going to the gym 3 times a week is pretty challenging. And I get out of there and I enjoy it and I like seeing people, but I'm exhausted at the end. And I know that it's good for me to keep going and keep doing it. But you do have to sort of like pick your battles a bit with it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. The only thing that's kept me like going the last couple of weeks is I just go, I will feel a lot better afterwards.
Yes.
I'm trying to see, you know, the future, you know, hour and a half, you know, once I get back home and, you know, tick off the exercise for the day. But the last few weeks actually has been super, super hot and and humid, so it's been really, really hard. But that's just the weather around here. But hopefully, I'll get there. I think I've got 4 to go. So, but we're traveling a bit in January, so I'll try and get there on tomorrow. But then it won't be until probably later in January that I start up again, and maybe in February it would be good sometime to reach that. So wait and see.
Yeah, it all sounds good. Hey, buddy.
I was just wondering of how long are you going to be in here for?
I'll be out here shortly, buddy. And then,
like how long?
Like 5 minutes?
Okay.
Cool.
It felt like it was,
I'm sure.
Good luck with the school holidays. And
it's always nice to have that, like as much as there's sort of more stuff that they need, I just find that with not having those bookends to play, I actually find I can get into the zone a little bit more with what I'm doing, because I don't have that thing of like, oh, it's like 2:15 and I got to go get them in like 45 minutes, so I can't really do this thing now. And, you know, like all of that sort of stuff. So I actually probably I'll be singing a different tune when I've got like a week or two to go, but for now it does make it a lot easier, and they can just, particularly in this weather, like Piper's just like get gets around naked all day, you know, doesn't even bother with clothes or anything like that. And they're so good too. Like, I went down to Osteo yesterday and they took their, you know, like phones, iPads or whatever, and they just sat in the waiting room for like an hour while I did my thing, didn't hear anything from them. And
yeah.
And I said, oh, you know, like, if you don't want to go, I could probably get grandma to come by. And they're like, no, we'll go, because they know that the ice cream place is around the corner.
Aww. Bribery, that's all right.
Yeah, that I happens. Had ice cream. I had, like, they went to Baskin Robbins and they had like a popcorn ice cream. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Get on that. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. What have I got tomorrow? I've got like a long. Are you going to park run?
Yes. The aim is to go to park run. Yes.
And I've got like.
Although it's supposed to be like 22 at 7 a.m. and if there's no cloud cover, it's going to be you know, going out along the wall is always interesting.
Yeah, I might try. Like, I've got. Apparently, I'm running 29 kilometres tomorrow on times.
Oh, sorry. Man.
But I will it is good having – I'll try to see if I can do park run at the end, because I like it there, because with it being the weekend, there's no sort of pressure for me to get out the door, but then I get out late and then it's, like, unpleasant in the last hour, you know,
yep.
Because I've procrastinated for too long and now it's fucking hot. Super foggy down there this morning. It's just like, but
yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully I will see you there.
Yeah, that would be lovely. See how you go.
No worries. Well, have a good afternoon.
Yes, I'm at work. This has been my lunch break, so it's tough.
It's always good, like, because Josh had got his, like, depression about going back to work.
Yeah.
and I said, it's so good that it's you're going back for, like, 2 days and then you've got a weekend. Like, there's nothing worse than going back on a Monday.
That's what I said to Stuart yesterday when we get home. I said, I'm so glad I've only got 2 days this week and then 2 days. And I've only got 4 days next week and then I'm off for 2 weeks. So. Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah. So I come back, it's quiet. I get things done, you know, get my year sort of sorted, and then I go and have a break, a better break.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Maybe we'll catch up in the morning.
Yeah, cool. See you then.
Okay. Thanks, Zoe.
No worries. Bye.
Bye.